Hey guys, welcome back to Navigate. Our hope here is to help you engage with God. My name is Ben and I'm excited this week because we've been joined by James. He's from Open Doors, a mission organization that helps people follow Jesus all over the world, no matter the cost. Today, we're going to dig into a passage in the Bible called the Beatitudes, as we have all week. The Beatitudes describes an important part of Jesus' teaching that talks about what it means to be blessed. Today, we're going to focus in on one verse. It's verse 9. We hope it's refreshing wherever you are. Here's what God's word says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, James, we've made it. We're into the last one of the week this week. As you have read out to you, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. What stands out to you?
Look, I love this verse in particular because I love that as partners with Jesus, we actually have a responsibility or an ability to influence the culture around us. And I look at that word peacemaker, and for me, that sounds like a really active word. It's actually something I really would love to be a part of in terms of the culture around me and my role in society. And I've had the privilege of meeting people now all over the world who are doing exactly that. They meet Jesus, they follow him, and they love his gospel. And then as a result, they are affecting change all around them in terms of this making peace and advancing the gospel.
Now, we've seen so far in this short teaching, the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. You get this image of the upside down kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. It's different to the kingdom of the world. And here what we get is this reality that followers of Jesus follow Jesus. He was the ultimate peacemaker, and he invites his people to be peacemakers.
Yeah.
Now, you touched on that as well. You've got some stories for us, but I'd love to just point out this reality too of children of God, this reality that God's children, his kids, are to follow in the footsteps of.
Yeah, I love that. And I just think exactly, you know, we spoke yesterday about what it means to love mercy and to pursue mercy, to forgive those around us. And I love that we, as his children, we look like him. We're his image. We've got his DNA. And I think as a result, we bring about peace. We affect change in our society for his good. Yeah. And I love that. You're exactly right. That's a beautiful promise that we will be called children of God because we portray his character.
Now, before we get into it, I mean, I'm excited by the account or what you've seen in Open Doors today of this playing out. But we should just say that as we've been working through the Beatitudes, in some ways it seems like if we do X, then, you know, we'll get Y. If we do the right stuff, then we will get to be children of God, or we'll get to see God. But the reality throughout all of this is it's who we are flows out in what we do.
Yeah.
We love because we've been loved. We grasp the gospel. We put our trust in Jesus, and then we do stuff.
I love that we have the privilege of seeing that in action all around the world. And the story that comes to mind for me was probably from my most recent trip to Egypt. Mm. Now, I actually wasn't aware of this, but some of you may have seen it's quite horrific footage of some men that were beheaded on a beach in Libya by ISIS. They were wearing orange jumpsuits. It became quite a famous video. That actually happened in Libya, but all of those men were Egyptians. And they were working. Often it's very difficult to find an income in Egypt. So these men all had families, and they were working in Libya to make an income for their families, sending the finances back to Egypt. ISIS rounded all of those men up. They were aware that they were all Christians. And so they decided to make a spectacle of them. They filmed their beheading on the beach, which became quite a famous video. Now, that was absolutely horrific, and seriously, it's a really dark moment in the kind of history of what was happening in the region there for Christians. But I got to see a side of that I never would have seen otherwise. And we actually got a chance to spend time with the family members that remain, the wives of those men and their children, and got to hear their story. And they explained to us that a lot of that kind of extremism breeds in an environment of an absence of access to literacy, high increased poverty. And so in that part of Egypt, you know, not only over in Libya, but also in Egypt, there is still a huge amount of extremism by Islamic extremists against Christians. And so instead of just sitting back and wallowing in their grief, which they would probably be very entitled to do, these families decided, no, instead we're going to do something to be a peacemaker. Remember that verse we're looking at, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What those men, what those women and their children are doing is they're actually advancing the gospel in a very practical way by teaching people to read and write. Right. Most of them, thousands and thousands of them, are Muslims in the surrounding villages where they come from. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Again, it might be easy to live in fear, certainly live in hatred of an ideology that has seen your own husband beheaded. But these people instead choose to reach out in love. And they're giving people quite literally the gift of literacy, teaching them to read and write. For me, that blew my mind. I just remember thinking, how dare I sit on my offenses and just live a closed, insular life when people like that are you know, showing me so clearly what it means to advance the kingdom of God in their communities.
Yeah, it's so good. It's amazing to hear that.
Yeah.
When we are children of God, we grasp the forgiveness that we find at the cross. It allows us, you know, and we've seen this already, it allows us to show mercy.
Yeah.
But even here to push into, actually it allows us to be peacemakers.
Yeah, that's right.
That we don't create more hostility, that we don't enter into perhaps the kingdom of the world, which would fight, you know, an eye for an eye.
Yes.
We change the game. We bring peace.
And I look at that word, the second half of peacemakers. Makers is a very, you know, a kind of intense verb there that requires action. And I think sometimes we can't just sit back, but we actually have to take the first step. It reminds me, some of you might be thinking, yeah, that's fine for them. It's a dramatic circumstance. It might have been seen on the news. But what does that mean in our personal lives? I can remember, again, a bit of a vulnerable moment, a family member. This is actually while I was on staff at a church. It's embarrassing. We all have flaws and faults, but I'd actually had an argument with this family member and we weren't talking, and it had become months and months. I think 4 or 5 months had gone on. I'm there leading worship on a Sunday morning. We act all righteous, do all the right things, say the right things. And there I've got this kind of glaring offense, active argument with a family member that had become quite serious, to be honest. And we actually had some training as a church staff in conflict resolution. I think I was chairing some of those meetings, and I'm sitting in there sitting in there thinking, oh, yes, this is good for my team to understand. And then again, the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, wait a minute, what about that issue you've got in your life? Part of that course was teaching us how to write an effective 7-point apology to people in a in a biblical way. And so I thought, you know, I can't just sit here and ignore it. So I did it. I sat down, I carefully wrote it out, and I sent it to that person. And it's just amazing that 5 months of dispute just evaporated in an instant. We've got a great relationship now. It might not look like that for everyone listening. Sometimes, you know, some of the wounds we've caused will continue to carry on effects for a long time. But I just think there's something really in this for all of us to pursue peace. Maybe some of you have got issues in your family, even as you're listening, that you realize, wait a minute, the Christian thing and the godly thing for me to do is to take the first step and try and repair that relationship.
As you're saying that, I'm just struck, and I think we've seen this. If you've been listening to each episode this week, I think we've been struck by this reality of our God actively working in not just in the church right around the world and in those persecuted Christians, but he actually cares enough in our lives.
Absolutely.
And that he's working even in small things. Like, or maybe it doesn't feel small, but, you know, relatively small things in terms of the globe of conflict that God enters in, and he actually helps us and pursues us. Another thing I was reminded of too as I was listening to that is just this reality that Jesus entered into the world to make peace. We had offended God. We do it constantly when we live in ignorance of him and we ignore his word, his ways, his will in our lives. Yet Jesus entered into the world to make peace with us. And to be a Christian means that we follow in his footsteps. We live under the King in the kingdom of God, and we make peace. Thanks so much for sharing your story of that. I feel like every listener can relate to that in that way as well. As we talk about this, I mean, James, you know, we're finishing up this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We've appreciated all of the stuff that you've been able to help us see as we've looked at the persecuted church. Is there anything, I don't know, thrown to you before I give the challenge this week, but any final...
I just think that real encouragement, really at the core of what we do, it's about people following Jesus. And so, you know, I would just encourage you to not make this about us and them, that they live a different life. Our whole mandate is that we're part of one body. And so our prayer that you'd be encouraged by their stories, you'd realize that they're just people like us. They just live a different kind of walk. And so it's our prayer that you'd really be encouraged in your personal lives as well.
Yeah. And I've found that, you know, for me, as I've explored this stuff in conversation with you, looking into Open Doors, it really does open your eyes to the fact that, God is working powerfully around the world, and that Christians, that we may not even know their names, are pursuing Jesus faithfully in some of the hardest places in the world. It is empowering as we think about living for Jesus in the West. Now, as we think about, particularly from this passage, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. We do want to leave a couple of challenges for you this today as you hear this. The first one is to actually just ask this question: have you found peace with God? Have you found peace with the Creator who loves you and is for you? Knowing the life-giving message of Jesus, know the fact that God entered into the world. He died for you. He rose again. He conquered sin and he conquered death. He did this to rescue you. He did this to rescue us. This truth, the gospel message, brings us peace. And it's a peace that's not found anywhere else. If you don't know this peace, we'd love to encourage you. Push deeper into God's word. Push deeper into Jesus. If you want to know more, send us a message on any of our social platforms, or push into your church, your local church, wherever that is, because we'd love to encourage you, find peace with God. There's nothing like it, and there's nothing as good as it. But the second thing is a challenge. It's a challenge, a reality, to ask the question: is there somewhere in your life where you need to make peace? Is there somewhere where God is calling you to be a peacemaker? Are there situations in our lives right now where we've been avoiding? Situations maybe of unrest, situations where the last thing we actually want to do is enter in and make peace. Maybe it is relationally. Maybe there's family hurt. Maybe there's friendships broken. Maybe it's people that we work with or people at our church. Maybe there's just people that we avoid, people we don't get along with. The reality here is that followers of Jesus are called to be like him, and he was a king who made peace. The encouragement today is: by the power and grace of God, push into that space. Be a peacemaker like our Father is, like Jesus is, and like the Holy Spirit allows us to be. Thanks heaps for listening today. We hope you were able to hear God speak through his word and this was encouraging for you. We'd love to encourage you to continue to engage with who God is and what God has done. We're so grateful for Open Doors and the work that they are doing around the world. We're thankful for James too in coming in. We'd love to point out, if you want to find out more about Open Doors, head to their website, www.opendoors.org.au. Search for their podcast as well. That comes out monthly. Look into that stuff, because as we hear from the persecuted church, it is encouraging and empowering, knowing that our God is working through Christians around the world today. Thanks heaps. We'll see you next time.